throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Garrison Financial Friday out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. I feel like I need the 2001 Space Odyssey music to be playing. Building up for the return of Scotty G.
I'm back.
He's in the house. He's ready to fire off hot takes about briskets.
Not ready for a sprinting match, but I'm back in the seat.
There's no doubt I could outrun him right now. I don't know. He might be able to pedal that scooter faster than I could run. But it's good to have you back, because we got all kinds of things to talk about. We'll hit some high school hoops from yesterday, all those tournaments from around the area. NFL this weekend, huge games, obviously, across both the NFC and the AFC with playoff implications. Huge shakeups in the coaching staff at Oklahoma. I don't know that the ideal sentence you wanted to say like, what was it, July of 2021, when the move to the SEC was kind of the cat was let out of the bag. I don't know if that time, if the sentence you wanted to lead off with was, Oklahoma will have a brand new offensive and defensive coordinator in their first year in the SEC. I don't know if that was it, but that's what's going to happen. As Ted Roof and Brent Venables mutually agree to part ways, which opens up the spot, and it looks like Zach Alley, a young dude that Venables has a bunch of experience with at Clemson as a GA, and then he did a pretty good job in his first year at Jacksonville State a year ago as the defense coordinator. So that looks like that's what's going to happen. We could talk about that as well. But without further ado, oh, by the way, I just got word today, Jared and Scott. One of the most favorite contests that we've run on the show will be returning.
March Madness? No?
High School March Madness.
Oh, yeah, that is fun.
Our friends at Tucker Family Beef are back on board for that. That was such a fun deal last year.
Yes, it was.
With the high school hoops headed to the state tournament. You're 8 for state. And so we'll be teasing that throughout here January. And then, of course, get to February, the playoffs. We'll make our picks. But that's coming. That's coming down the pike here in a couple of weeks. So get ready. Everybody, I'm giving everybody a 2-week head start to start really paying attention and planning for when those brackets come out. What, 3 weeks from today?
Is it, man, it is, isn't it?
3 weeks from today, brackets. 2 weeks from today, we'll know the assignments in the afternoon on that Friday. Right?
That is head spinning. I think
No.
Is it 3 weeks?
Yeah, 3 weeks. 3 weeks, we'll know the assignments.
The assignments.
2 weeks from Monday, we'll know the locked-in rankings.
Crazy.
Bammo. So, that'll be a
crazy.
Fun. That'll be fun. Everybody really enjoyed that one last year, and we're going to do it again with the help of our friends Monty and Danielle, Tommy, Granny T. I think Granny T's 100 and going to be 101. I went to her 100th birthday party last year.
You did?
I did.
Were there 100 candles?
There was there was a board that had the stats of like what things were when she was born versus today.
Wow, man.
Oh, it was amazing. I wish I should have taken a picture of it if I didn't. Just the difference in life. Granny T has seen, but it's going to be good stuff. Can't wait to see the rankings. We can talk about it the next couple of weeks, but figure out 8 for state.
Well, I like that. We know that we're having this, so you're right. People will pay attention.
Start paying attention to the results,
taking notes, and okay, that team might be a team I need to keep an eye on.
That's right. Yeah. So good stuff. All right, I think the biggest thing going, at least this weekend, on the sporting landscape, is the NFL playoff picture. Jared, can you remember, or Scott may know too, there's 6 teams that are win and you're in scenario no matter what happens. Mm-hmm. It was the Bills, the Jags, the Colts, the Texans, because they play. Green Bay.
The Bucks, right?
And the Bucks. That's it. That's the six that are win and you're in. Other teams need some help. Of the teams that need some help, I know the answer Scott will want to have. Actually, let's ask him the question we talked about earlier this week. As a Steeler fan, would you rather get a shot in the playoffs or lose this week and maybe create a couple of spots up the draft board?
To get what?
For coming. Well, I mean, there's quarterbacks galore.
Oh, I don't. They're not going to get a top 10 pick, so they're not going to get anybody that I would that would be more appealing to me than watching Kenny Pickett develop for one more year with it. With say, I mean, Pittsburgh needs to develop that offensive line. It's going to be nice to actually have a new, fresh offensive coordinator next year that might turn things around too. But we got to develop the offensive line and after outside of the top three quarterbacks, there's nobody that I would rather have than just watching Pickett develop and see what he turns into. Give him another year.
Yeah, as you're like somewhere in the
unless Shake and Bake wants to go to Pittsburgh, baby.
He might be available.
Long-term deal.
I said this, and I almost texted Jim as they were picking on him yesterday.
Oh, I would love it for Jim. If Shake and Bake goes, you got to bring me in when Jim's on the show with you.
Think about this. There is a realistic reality coming up here in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from Sunday or Saturday, depending on when the game would be. But there is a realistic opportunity for the Dallas Cowboys to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the playoffs. That's going to be a fascinating week of radio.
That would be pretty cool.
To figure out which way the ultimate decides. When we talk about like Texas and OSU being like the meteorite game, you know, for OU fans, yeah. That could be that for Jim Traver.
He might actually want to talk about women's college basketball before he talks about that.
It ain't going that far. It's simmer down. It ain't going that far, but that'll be to see. He'll twist
are
himself.
Are you guys finally off your high horse?
About what?
I told you guys at the beginning of the year not to pick Dallas to win the NFC.
Oh, there's still a fantastic opportunity for that to happen.
You're out of your mind.
I mean, I just laid it out. So that would mean the Rams. Okay, so here, if
how are they going to finish above San Francisco?
They're not.
I think we're talking about two different questions. Oh, okay. You're talking about getting the one seed.
The one seed.
Okay. No.
Yeah.
They're going to be in the Super Bowl too.
But winning the NFC.
San Fran's going to be in the Super Bowl.
Well, it's pretty simple. You've got the Rams defeat the Lions.
So then
the Rams go to San Fran. That means I would prefer to see Baker Mayfield in the Bucks instead of the Eagles.
I mean,
as much as I think the Eagles,
if the Lions only get to play 11 people, they'd have another win and
yeah, we conveniently forget about that tripping thing that happened before all the reporting madness. It's amazing to me. I've been kind of reading a bunch of stuff in NFL this week. It's amazing to me how many people have the Rams as like a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I'm shocked at how quick that's happened.
They've got the defensive front for certain. They definitely have that. I don't know. You know, that offensive line has definitely gotten better as the year's gone on.
And you'd assume Stafford's getting healthier and healthier. Yeah. And obviously Nacua is about to have the best wide receiver season for a rookie in the history of the league. Cooper Kupp, he's another guy that's gotten consistently healthier and healthier and healthier.
Yeah. They're kind of looking like that team.
It kind of reminds you of the
Ravens back in the 2000 to 2010 era, you know, when Ray Lewis was getting older, but they're at the end of the season, they'd always make a huge push. And
yeah, I was going to say, you'll remember the Super Bowl, unfortunately for you, but the year that the Packers did win the title with Aaron Rodgers and they beat
that.
Pittsburgh,
yeah,
that they were a team that had injuries earlier off, and mm-hmm. by the time it was over, I mean, they were like the sixth seed or fifth seed back then, but they got healthy with like 3 or 4 weeks to go and just rolled through everybody.
Well, and Tomlin went blank and lost his mind and didn't throw the ball to Antonio, so you know, that's
maybe
a big
Antonio
part of the problem too.
Maybe it was Antonio that really lost his mind.
That might have been it too.
All right, so I asked Jared this question the other day.
Well, I want to get his answer, okay, though, about what do you want? Do you want Pittsburgh to make the playoffs or not? Would you sacrifice playoffs?
I'd always like to watch. Hey, you know, Pickett comes back. Who knows what Pittsburgh can do in the playoffs?
Defense is awesome.
The fact of the matter is that it's very easily could be the best defense in the league. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they weren't on the field 70% of the game, they might be the best defense in the league. So I'll always take a playoff run if I can get a playoff run.
I think at least my mindset is, no matter how bad or how average you think your team that you're rooting for is, make playoffs, you always have a chance.
It's the NFL. It's the NFL. Yeah. Every game comes down to a field goal. Or a drive.
Or a quarterback.
Yeah, it does. I mean,
it can be the best team in the league, and if their quarterback goes down, they might be a mid-tier team.
Or if he has just a bad day.
Yeah.
Look what
happened when Brock Purdy had a bad day. Now, it was a pretty good Raven defense, but he had a bad day, and they got blew out.
Oof.
You're right. If the quarterback's not on or for key injury, I'm saying if you get playoffs, you got a chance. It's exciting. You never know. Never know what
they're
can happen.
They're 4-1 in what is the best division in football.
Yeah.
Probably about to be 5-1 because the Ravens are locked up in the one seed, so they're going to obviously rest some guys.
Yeah.
So what do you need? You've got to have what? Who has to lose?
I can't remember. It was quite
Buffalo.
It was quite a scenario.
Yeah, it's crazy that they're tied. The record is tied for the last spot, but it does seem like they need two or three things to happen.
Yeah, it was quite a scenario for them to get in, but you know. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
Wouldn't it be fun if Buffalo didn't make the playoffs? Speaking of
100%.
Speaking of teams that everybody thinks is going to make the Super Bowl.
They went from being the darling to kind of being hated. Have you sensed that? I don't know if it's because I'm talking about over the period of the last 3 years. You know, about 3 years ago, everybody was like, hey, maybe Buffalo's finally building the team that can finally actually win the Super Bowl instead of play in the Super Bowl. And, like, they were kind of a darling. And it's just kind of like sentiment has kind of gotten to where everybody's like, I don't want to even talk about
it. I'll do you one better. It's this season. They went from the darling and then they went to the throw them out. We don't like them. That's the team we always thought they'd be as bad, and now they're the darling again. Some people are picking them to go to the Super Bowl.
I think the biggest question in professional sports is what has happened to the Eagles.
Jalen Hurts can't really throw. I don't know.
But what happened to the defense?
Well, injuries doesn't help.
Well, they lost both coordinators. And they paid Jalen Hurts, which meant they lost a bunch of guys on defense.
Yeah, because
they can't pay them. And there's going to have to be a serious look at how many of those guys. By those guys, I mean the quarterbacks are actually worth. I know what the market is, but the market is the market worth.
Yeah,
but I'm talking about the real value. You can
value
make
to the team.
You can make the case that Pat Mahomes isn't worth what he's getting paid now because the thing about Brady, and I get it, Brady and Peyton always kind of didn't take a massive pay decrease, but they always took a little bit of one to try to elevate spots on the team, and Mahomes kind of did that in a way now, but even him. In all the greatness that is Patrick Mahomes. Now, he can't catch the ball for the receivers. I do get that, and that's been the case a little bit. But even him hasn't been able to elevate those mid-receiver guys like Brady was able to for all those years in New England.
Well, how about this? I mean, when Peyton went to Denver, he took a match. I mean, he didn't get paid much at all. And they had unbelievable things in place, and he literally did just control the game. I mean, spectacular is not a good word for him at Denver. He didn't look very good at all.
Not the Super Bowl winning tier, no. It wasn't. He was the definition of a game manager.
Yes, absolutely.
The definition.
And, I mean, they easily walked to the Super Bowl. Yeah. Easily.
Yeah, he was – his first couple of years in Denver, he was actually still kind of Peyton Manning. And then the year he wasn't is when they won it all.
Yeah.
Well, the year he won it with Indy, he wasn't the best player in that game.
But he was the best player in that team.
That game,
by
he
far.
Was very subpar.
It was raining, and the running back. I mean, he's still the MVP, but Dominic Rhodes, I think, was the running back that scored kind of the touchdowns. Now listen. What was he in that? The player vote on NFL Network. Hurts was like the second or third, number two or number three.
Best player in the league.
No. I mean, as much as OU fans want to love him or Alabama fans want, there is no chance. I said it the whole offseason.
Yeah.
The league, it's amazing how the league catches up if there's even just the tick of a gimmick to you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and there isn't really much to him other than he can run it. But if he has to stand it, I mean, look at the weapons he's got. And they're still – I think he's a little hurt. I do think his knee
– he's not.
He hasn't
not
been right. But that team hasn't been right either. They remind me so much of your Steelers the COVID year. They got out – Steelers, what, 11-0, I think?
Yeah.
And just kind of won some games that probably shouldn't have, but they did. And, you know, but Ben wasn't quite right. You know, that was kind of the start of the downfall to Ben. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you lose a few and then – lose that game to the Cleveland Browns in the playoffs. That's the way it seems to me like this Philadelphia season is going to end.
Yeah,
just kind of, golly, it just never really worked. And losing both coordinators is a huge part of that. You know, one of those in Indy has the Colts somehow a win away from going to the playoffs, even losing their first-round pick at quarterback, which
stash.
Might have been a little bit of a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
At least for this year. And then – shoot, Gannon in Arizona, all of a sudden, now that he's got Kyler back and Kyler in the mix of playing, they're not a terrible team.
Watching Kyler Murray when he's healthy is the funnest. He is the funnest guy to watch in the NFL when he's healthy. I mean, my gosh, it's just incredible. If that poor kid had another 3 inches.
I know.
And
three. He needs about 7.
40 pounds.
Yeah. It's like Sonic the Hedgehog running around out there.
It really is.
And next thing you know, the ball, it is so weird because, you know, a lot of times you can see, like, he's so small, though. It's like the ball just comes out of nowhere sometimes when he's running. You know what I mean? There's like people around. It's like, oh, my gosh, there's the ball.
Yeah.
Oh, it's right on target. Touchdown. Yeah. Wow, that was wild.
Yeah, he's incredible to watch. We'll see what happens for him.
So, sitting here on the Friday before the final regular season Sunday, Scotty G, who is playing in the Super Bowl, who would you pick?
I mean, barring injury, nothing is going to get in San Francisco's way.
Except for Mr. Irrelevant.
Nothing is going to get in San Francisco's way. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And then AFC, you know what? You're going to call me crazy, but I think every team in the AFC that's going to be in the playoffs is praying that Pittsburgh gets the last spot and somehow manages to get to the second round and plays the Ravens, because Pittsburgh's defense is the only defense in the NFL that shuts down Jackson.
Yeah.
They're the only one.
There's so much familiarity there because of the divisional thing.
And they shut him down every time they play him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so much of that. I'm so interested in Lamar. You know, he had the MVP year in, 2019, I think it was. In that playoff game, he threw for a bunch of yards. He wasn't terrible, but he wasn't good enough to win. Then the COVID. Then since then, it's felt like the Ravens have been that team that going into December, everyone loved, and they got hurt.
Yeah.
And just the entirety of the team, injury-wise, for like 3 years in a row now, has kind of overcome anything that Baltimore might have been ready to do. I mean, I think maybe not last year, but the 2 years before, or no, since COVID, because Pittsburgh obviously had the best record then. But I think those next 2 years, the Ravens were like in position, like we're the one seed going into December, and then it all fell apart. And I don't even know if they made the 1 year, they didn't even make the playoffs. So that it's hard to. He's only played four playoff games, and it seems like so many more than that, but it's only four. So I don't know if that's a big enough sample size to sit here and go, Lamar can't win in the playoffs. But it's also a big, but it is a big enough one to go, well, he couldn't three out of the four.
He hasn't done very good.
That's right. And it's not like he's lit it up and they've lost. A lot, he's kind of struggled. And I know Mark Rogers is on this bandwagon banging this drum about him, whereas if you can just keep him in the pocket, you have a good chance to beat them. And I'm so
constant pressure early is what Pittsburgh always does to him.
Yeah, just in right up the middle, not letting him break out, you know, keeping him hemmed in. He's the most fascinating guy to me in this entire playoff run because he is the guy above him and maybe Dak, I guess if you want to say. I mean, they're very similar in their playoff histories. Yeah. I mean, Dak's maybe won one more game than Lamar, but very, very similar. And where they're the two guys that can really change legacy, change narrative about their careers with a run to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Dak better make a run to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, can't you just see a loss to a 13.5-point underdog Washington coming? Can't you see that coming?
Unfortunately, yes.
Here's the deal, though. And this is always there's always two ends of the spectrum on this last weekend. There's the teams fighting to get in the playoffs, and then there's the teams that are dumb enough to win.
Yeah.
Washington has got the second pick in the draft.
And they're dumb enough to win.
Yeah. We saw it last year, and it actually worked out. Houston was dumb enough to win and not get the number one pick, and it worked out immensely.
Yeah.
Because they ended up with C.J. Stroud. Instead of having that choice, they say they would have taken him anyway. We'll never know. It's kind of like the old, well, Presti was going to take Durant instead of Greg Oden. Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's really true. But it's easy to say because you didn't have to.
That's true.
So that's the one thing. Washington sewed up the second pick right now, which means they get one of those quarterbacks if they want them. And they're dumb enough to win.
Oof.
I tell you what, it's probably not a good situation, not a good place to be if you're a fan. Think about Carolina this week. 2-14. They've shown a little signs of life, maybe at the end. 2-14, you've sewed up the number one pick. It's not yours.
It's not yours.
Ouch.
It's not yours.
And you traded DJ Moore, who's been fantastic for Chicago, all those first round picks.
Yeah.
For Bryce Young. Ooh. Darn it.
Somebody in that office must be an Ohio State fan, huh? Or excuse me, Alabama fan.
Well, supposedly Reich, he's already been fired. As the coach, he wanted C.J. Stroud. As much as told him, you're going to draft. And then the owner, he's throwing drinks on people last week. Jacksonville out of the box. David Tepper. David Tepper's got a problem.
It's not looking good.
Oof,
here's a good question. So you have – I mean, everybody says – to me, it's not a no-brainer. To me, Williams, his demeanor, his actions have shown me that maybe he's not ready to be the guy. To me, it's not a no-brainer. So you have the number one pick. Who are you taking?
Who are you?
After watching college football till now, you have the number one pick. Who are you taking?
Chicago has a fascinating
decision. They are in a bind.
They have a fascinating decision. And with the history of the Chicago Bears and the quarterback position –
yeah,
they're going to choose wrong.
Incredible.
They're going to choose wrong. Yeah, and it's not even going to be their fault. They're just going to choose wrong. If it's me, but I was always a huge Justin Fields guy.
Yeah.
You know, a lot like what Stroud did last year in that Georgia game that showed you, whoa, early showed me like he's doing that against dudes that he's going to play against on Sunday. I thought Stroud did that against Clemson that year in 2020 in the bowl game or the playoff game where he shredded BV's guys. That was you know what I'm saying? And then, of course, Alabama, they didn't have enough firepower, but it wasn't necessarily on him. Like, he was making plays against the good dudes.
Right, yeah.
So for me, I would not, and part of it's what you're saying. I don't know if I'd have said this in August, but I think I would hold on to Fields and try to get a king's ransom for that number one pick.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would just automatically take Marvin Harrison Jr. first.
I would definitely not.
I would rather get so much more. You know what I mean? But if you make that first round, if you make that number one pick, you almost have to take Caleb or a quarterback, which I think they would take Williams. And you kind of hamstring.
They not get with their second pick? Could they not get Michael Penix?
They're down the list a ways because they've won some games here lately. Heck, if they wouldn't have blown some of those games without Fields, they might be in the playoffs. So, and that would, I think.
Because I'll tell you now, I think Penix is the most appealing quarterback to me. If I was a scout and I'd been watching this film over the last month and a half of college football, that dude has had the leadership qualities. He's got the arm. And he's made some plays that are just.
See, he was awesome in a playoff game.
Oh, he was awesome against Oregon.
Yeah.
Watching him against Oregon, I was like, wow, this guy is.
The difference in that playoff game versus like Stroud's last year is everybody knew the Texas secondary was terrible.
Yeah.
You knew it. Now, if he does that again to like Michigan, like this is a pretty good audition
for
him.
Yeah.
To move up in that. I keep Fields and I try like heck to trade for, you know, what, two or three number ones and some guy that can help.
Okay, so you avoided my biggest question is who is the number one quarterback?
I Caleb Williams. I'm not changing. He's got too much talent. But here's the problem. He reminds me so much of what's the guy's name? Bo. You get Bo.
Oh.
From Draft Day.
A lot of characters.
Oh.
I don't think anybody went to his birthday party.
Yeah.
You know who he reminds me
Nobody
of?
Nobody went to his penthouse.
Yes.
He reminds me 100% of Vince Young.
And see, Vince Young, but his arm is so, he's got so much more arm talent than Vince Young had. So much more arm talent. And Vince Young was better NFL quarterback than people want to give him credit for, but it's not number one pick quality.
He was a better NFL quarterback than people give him credit for, but that's exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Not number one.
The leadership wasn't there.
Yeah.
His leadership ability, his talent was there. His leadership ability wasn't there. And that's what I think the problem was with Caleb.
Scares you. Some of this stuff really scares you.
Yeah.
From
too worried about talking about how he's not jinxed on Dr. Pepper commercials and painting his fingernails.
How long has it been since we've seen such an amazing ad campaign?
Oh my gosh.
As Fansville. Oh, Fansville, man, is fantastic.
Yeah, it is. Like, you actually will stop and watch it.
Yes.
If you're trying to fast forward through an ad, you'll stop to watch it.
They get, you know, the kid that's clearly a dork.
Yeah.
That's trying to talk himself into being a fan, then the girl throws it right through his nose, and she's like, come on, it was right to you.
The reason that works, it appeals to every type of fan.
Yes, it does.
You know, like, any type of fan or non-fan, like that kid or whatever. I remember that one commercial where everybody was overreacting, and the guy took his stuff out into the front lawn.
He started burning his.
You know how many times people said, "Jared, that's you."
Yes, I was. You know what? The first time I saw it, I thought Jared forgot he's burning his jersey. and then they work in the topical stuff during the playoffs. All of a sudden, the portal was sucking people in, and the guy goes, oh, "Man, that's my Dr. Pepper hand." You know, he flies in, and just like any fans. Oh, it's just a quarterback. We can find another one of those. No big deal.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that one, the guy came out. Like, hey, I'm here. Like, yeah, you're a kicker. Nobody cares.
Yeah, it's fantastic stuff. All right, speaking of fantastic, what's going on down at Garrison Financial, Scotty?
Hey, we are rocking through. We got to the end of the year. Still a lot of things that we can do to help people on taxes for last year. One of the biggest things that I'm seeing, the biggest value that I'm being able to add right now is saving people money on life insurance. So if you've got some life insurance products that maybe you're not sure that you got in the best product or the right thing for you, or maybe you're just not sure you got the best deal, come down and see me. Let's take a look and let's crunch some numbers and see what we can do.
Yeah, and I know, or it used to be this way. I don't know the tax law quite as well as I once did, but I mean, from now until April 15th, there's still that the ability to add money to IRAs and that kind of stuff that then goes back to your 2023
Absolutely.
Tax return, correct?
Yeah, we can do IRAs. We can do a SEP account. So there's a lot of opportunities there, especially for self-employed people.
Yeah, so what we're saying is just because the calendar turned to 2024 doesn't mean you can't still go
you don't
help
just
yourself.
Have to. Yeah, a new truck is not the only way I can help you avoid taxes.
All right, Scott at Super. Even though that's the most fun one, it's not the only way. Oh, excuse me. He choked me up. Scott at SoonerWealth.com is the email. 124 North Main is its physical location. Of course, 821-1219 is the office number. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate your time. Welcome back. It's Friday.
Good to be back.
Fridays haven't been quite as lively for the last few weeks as they are when you're here.
It's good to be back.
All right, when we return, we'll talk about the high school hoops from yesterday. Good day for all the Paragon schools for the most part. Look ahead to what's coming today. And then shakeups at Oklahoma on the coaching staff. It's funny because this is what a lot of people wanted to see, and those same people that wanted to see it are griping. We'll be back.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
Yeah, they say this guy scratches himself better than he throws a ball.
All right, welcome back to Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Garrison Financial Friday rolls on. Some high school hoops. Jared, you were out at Merritt yesterday with the Canute Trojans and Trojanettes. A couple of easy wins for the black and gold of Canute.
Yeah, there was a wrinkle of the starting lineup was changed up for the girls for the first time all season long, where Kendall Schuster has become on really good her sophomore season. I guess she woke up sick or was dealing with something. I don't want to say anything, it'd be wrong, but not feeling good, so she wasn't there. So Camry Tabor had to be inserted to line up another sophomore against Frederick, and it's a Frederick team that was struggled this year. They have six on their roster, and so my point is, if there was a game for one of your starters to get sick and miss, maybe that was the one. I'm trying to be as nice as possible, but it's on the table. You see what it is. So
it's 45-1 at halftime.
41 the one, I think.
Oh, I thought it was 45-1.
Doesn't matter. They scored 1 point in the first half to Canute's 40-plus.
Simple win.
It was now I'm told Kendall will be back. And now they got a really tough task taking on the Hooker Lady Bulldogs. We expected that. Hooker not ranked in 2A, but watching them play yesterday, they're pretty good. They've only played, I think, like 7 games after yesterday. They're not bad. And the 2 losses that they have are some against some other ranked teams, like Cashin was one of them. I can't remember the others in the tournament back in December. So this is going to be a really tough test for the Canute Trojanettes. They got them last year. Canute beat them last year in this tournament to get to the finals. They love to keep that going. They're playing well. I was real worried. I said this yesterday on air of what, and a lot of teams are in the same boat of, a lot of yesterday was their first game, maybe their second game since the Christmas break. So was there going to be some rust? And it didn't appear that way. Gabby Espinoza was awesome. She hit 6 threes, 24 points for her. This is her first year as a starter, as a senior. She stepped up. I've said it yesterday too. When that was happening, I thought, okay, she hasn't scored like that in the first part of the season. Merry Christmas. Here's your Christmas gift. Now, she obviously stayed in the gym during the Christmas break, hit those threes, and maybe that's just another more arsenal for Coach Riddling to work with if she can consistently shoot like that and make those buckets. So it was an expected win, a good win. They took care of business. Everybody got to play. Now harder competition today. The boys,
same thing.
Same thing. They kept doing the same thing they've done all year: run and gun, efficient defense, good rebounding. Luke Spitz. this played in the Luke Spitz game the way I mentioned the physicality I thought Mangum would bring. And when Luke got the ball, he always got fouled. They would double down on him, and he just went through it, got the whistle, got to the free throw line, made, I think, 8 of 10 of his free throws, only made one bucket from the field, but he hit his free throws. It's really cool, I think, when the big guy can hit his free throws. He's like a 76, maybe higher percent free throw shooter. That's really good. And he showed that yesterday. He was higher percentage yesterday in that stat. So he was my player of the game because of that. And that was cool for me to see as a Canute fan, to see that they can adjust to if it's going to be a run-and-gun type team that you're going up against, like a lot of the smaller type teams that you see, athletic teams that you see in Class A and B, they can compete with that. But then we get to those larger schools with those football schools with the more physical type play, physical nature. They can handle that too, and they did easily against Mangum winning that game. So a couple of easy wins. They'll get Turpin today in the boys' semifinal. Turpin, I think, was a 9-point winner over Moreland yesterday. And like I said, the Canute girls will get the Moreland girls. Merritt girls won easily over Gracemont. I'm going off the top of my head
75-8.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I'm just going with the winners. It was an easy win for them, as expected. There were a lot of blowouts in this first round over at the Merritt Classic.
That's what today is the good day.
I think today is
when
the good
when you
day.
Talk about traveling around, yeah, today's the right day you want to do it.
You're right. Today is the good day. Today's going to be the good day.
All right, so that's out at Merritt. So you got what?
Merritt boys won too, by the way.
Yeah,
Merritt
boys.
Frederick, yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, they beat Frederick 49-38. So they get Hooker today.
That's a good win for them.
Canute plays who?
Boys?
Yeah.
Turpin.
And then girls play Moreland? No.
Hooker.
Merritt plays Moreland. Did Moreland beat Turpin, girls?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Thought I'd seen that score. So it's Merritt, Moreland, Hooker, Canute on the girls' side, and then Hooker, Merritt, Turpin, Canute on the boys' side.
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. Over at Arapahoe Butler, both Cheyenne teams with wins. Lady Bears beat Sayre. I got that score right here. I got all the scores for our teams.
There you go.
Right here, written down. I think it was 53-33. It was 53-33. So Cheyenne Raiden moves on. They'll play Amber Pocasset as they topped Arapahoe Butler in the first round 46-34. So you get Cheyenne Raiden and Ampo in one semifinal. Lakeba Sickles beat Cordell. I didn't ever see a Snyder Southwest Covenant score on the girls' side. Boys, Cheyenne Raiden was able to defeat Snyder 42-17. They'll play Southwest Covenant today in the semifinals. Repo Butler beats Sayre. I'm sure they'll get Ampo. Do you see an Ampo boys score versus Lakeba Sickles?
Give me a second.
I think I saw Ampo one, but it could have been looking
Ampo
at the girls at the time.
I guess
Lakeba Sickles.
Oh, no.
Anyhow,
on our net where we can find it.
I saw so many scores yesterday, kind of looking around for the scores from around the state segment, you know, at halftime. Mm-hmm. And my mind is almost mush trying to remember who was boys, who was girls, this and that. So that's over at Arapahoe. Up at Hammond. Man, how about the Hammond Warriors? They're a team that I've talked about all year long to watch out for after Christmas. They've gotten better and better and better and better. And last night they get a ranked win over Lomega in overtime, 69-62. It's a game they led basically the entire way. Lomega got a bucket right at the buzzer to send in it overtime, then Hammond was able to pull away in overtime. So they get Texoma today. That'll be the one semifinal. Sentinel was also a winner on the boys' side. On the girls' side, Lomega, Texoma will play on one side. Did you see the Sentinel Boys City girls? Is it Hammond? And Sentinel again?
Yes.
I think it was.
Yeah, I saw the updated bracket.
Okay. So we get Hammond and Sentinel. Sentinel, the only team to beat Hammond so far this season, back in game one. There will be a lot different presence on the floor for Hammond this time, as Henley West will be there. She wasn't earlier. Up at Woodward, Leedy dominated two games, 95-31 on the girls' side over Tyrone. Then they beat Goodwill 88-19. So Leedy into the semifinals up at Woodward. Hollis, I never saw a Hollis boys, Apache boys score. I know the girls lost. Walters knocked off Hollis on the girls' side 50-23. They'll get Big Pasture next, but I never did see. I'm sure our local Tiger fan will tell us exactly what happened there. But anyhow, who am I missing? Both Eric teams won. We get Eric and Granite on the boys' side down in Altus. And then over at Hinton, Elk City Elkettes got huge contributions in the fourth quarter from a couple of freshmen. Lucy O'Hara, I can't remember if she scored all nine of her nine in the fourth quarter or if it was seven of nine. Kylie Coffey made two fourth quarter threes, so those either 13 or 15 of the 20 points the Elkettes scored in the fourth quarter from the freshmen in huge moments, and they end up winning 56-50. So the Elkettes into the semifinals trying to defend the Hinton Invitational title. They get a tough one today. Class 2A, number 3, Riverside. That'll be 7 o'clock tip for Elk City and Riverside over at Hinton. Boys, fascinating game against Fort Cobb. Elk City was right in it, actually took a one-point lead into the fourth quarter. With halfway through the fourth quarter, it was still a tight, tight game. And then everybody in the gym started getting upset at one person. Everybody in the gym, both sides, and also neutral observers, got upset at one person. And that one person just unfortunately had a whistle in her mouth. And even after the game, talking to the Fort Cobb guys that I've known for years, even Coach Hines sitting there, just how disappointing the end of that game turned out to be because of the whistles. And even like he said, like to see you want to see as a coach in these, that's the reason why you like these tournaments. Because they challenge you in different ways, and being able to see how a team responds in those tight situations at the end of games just prepares you, right? It prepares you for what's coming in the playoffs, and neither team really got a chance to see that in the run of play. It was unfortunate. Fort Cobb did a great job at the free throw line. They got there a ton, and they capitalized. I know Cray Rogers, watch out. Fort Cobb isn't the best team. I'm just going to tell you right now. They're not the best team in a Class B, I don't believe. But they may have the best player every single game. Rogers is awesome. And you don't – seeing him grow up, you know, we've seen him for four straight years now. Mm-hmm. What really shocked me, and maybe you notice it if he's out on the floor against guys you're not used to seeing, but you really notice it when you're out on the floor with guys you are used to seeing, and which for me is the Big Elks.
Sure.
And you've seen his progression even as a freshman at Cordell, the COVID year that those two teams played each other. So, you know, I've literally seen him for 4 years. How much he's matured in his game, in his attitude, and especially his body. Like, he's the tall – he was just every bit as tall as Blake Redd. 6'3". Mm-hmm. And he's every bit as stout as Tucker. You know what I mean? He's just a load of an athlete out there. Controls the game really, really, really well for the Mustangs. You know, in a state tournament, in a state final, there's going to have to be contributions from somebody. I don't know that he can win the thing by himself. So those other guys are going to pick up the slack. But it was fascinating to watch him as we've seen him and the maturity that he showed and just a load. You see him as the point guard, right? So you don't realize how big he is. Then all of a sudden they put him on the block. It was a great move by Coach Hines to get him down on the block, and that way he could create fouls, get to the free throw line, or score buckets at the rim because he's so much stronger than everybody, than you would think he is. So the Elks played awesome, had a chance to win that game, would have been a huge feather in the cap of the brown and white, just couldn't finish it off. And so now we get an I-40 battle in the consolation bracket today with Elk City and Clinton. That'll be a 12:20 tip over in Hinton. So 12:20 for the girls, 7 o'clock, or for the boys, excuse me, against Clinton, 7 o'clock for the girls against Riverside. That's what happened for the brown and white yesterday. Games you're looking forward to today? I mean, obviously the Canute ones, but if I'm looking around, Eric and Granite boys is one that I'm excited to see which one of those teams is going to get their shot at Duke.
Yeah.
And we talked about with the rankings and whatnot there. I want to see what Hammond boys can do against Texoma.
That's the one I was going to say.
Is it? That's a good one. And then of course, we look ahead to Saturday, And there's, you know, Canute, Merritt girls could be one.
Yeah.
You know, Duke, Granite, Duke, Eric, Texoma Sentinel, Hammond Sentinel, and, of course, probably the crown jewel that could happen is Hammond Lomega on the girls' side as far as the rankings go.
Yeah. Remind me again. I'm scrambling to find the bracket. The other boys' game, semifinal game in Hammond, Sentinel and who?
Vicer or Shattuck.
Probably Shattuck, if I'm guessing.
I will tell you in just 1 second. If it's posted. Efforting. There it goes. Get down to the V's. It's the easiest to find the V's. It's not a score.
Of course. Let me...
Oh, there it is. Shattuck beat Vicer 65-49.
Yeah, I assume that was going to be... That one's kind of interesting, too. Those two semifinal in the boys' bracket and Hammond is one.
By the way, something I didn't realize till today, looking at Texoma's record, they're coming to the Bi-County also.
Oh, good.
Dude, that's going to be a heck of a tournament.
Yes, it is. Yeah, and, you know, yesterday I mentioned Merritt boys with an opportunity to turn their season around, and they got that, and then you talk about feathering their cap. That was a good win because Frederick always brings athletes.
Yeah, I saw them last year. They had dudes that could drop, step, dunk.
Yeah, and Merritt, anytime there was a threat put on by Frederick, they had an answer. So I tip my cap to that. Now they get a really tough matchup with Hooker today. Seeing them, there are multiple athletes on that squad for the Hooker Bulldogs. I mean, they're coming off a state championship game in football.
Yeah.
And it looked like they all took off the pads and laced up the shoes and went onto the court. They're very, very athletic. So see if Merritt can protect home court. So that one's kind of – I'm going to have my eye on that one. And for the same reasons, Hammond against Texoma. Did the Hammond boys turn a corner too with that win over Lomega?
Yeah, and I wonder if it didn't happen before the break. Honestly, for Coach Johnston's team. I mean, they lost some games up at the Leedy tournament to some good teams. But it, you know, early seemed like it was a bit of a struggle. Playing good teams also, you know, but it does feel like, I mean, they're young.
Mm-hmm.
Their best players are young. But that win over Eric, you know, Eric had a few feathers in their cap before Christmas. And the last game before the break, Hammond beat them by 15. And that's when I went. And then follow that up with the win over Lomega. Now, Texoma, and this is we'll see exactly how it all shakes out. But
and
yeah.
There is something about playing in your home gym.
Sure.
In these tournaments. Yeah, the fans show up. When does our team play? And even if it's a Saturday afternoon for third place, they will show up. So, the matchup on paper, it tells you one team could win. But on the other hand, for the reasons I said, that's why I'm interested in them.
Yeah.
You know?
No doubt. No doubt.
I'm just rooting for them. You know, they're a Paragon schools. I want to see them turn a corner.
Merritt, Hammond, Sealing, Texoma, I know are in that Bi-County in 2 weeks.
We thought the girls' bracket.
You know, Duke used to come to that. I wonder if they still come.
I don't know.
Goodness. High school hoops. It's all over. Paragon TV today. I mean, just flip it on. You can find a game. The entire Merritt tournament is on. The entire Hammond tournament is on. So even if your team isn't playing, you can watch both of those tournaments rolling through.
Yeah.
We'll be back to wrap it up.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their taxes, tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. Finishing up with Garrison Financial Friday. Final segment, Skinny on Sports, right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. What do you got? What's on your mind?
We're doing that?
Oh, yeah, just kind of what, you know, we talked about basketball, we talked about football. What else is kind of on your mind?
We didn't really touch about the coordinator situation at OU. They got a new defensive coordinator after mutual partings with their old defensive coordinator, Roof, and OU and Venables said, I think it's best for both parties. And so the whole, it was funny within the hours that happened, you know, everybody blowing up. Well, who's going to do it? Are they going to hire within? Are they going to hire an outsider? What are they going to? And then before you can even speculate, boom, news came out that this young guy is going to be hired. Pretty much a Venables clone is everything I'm hearing. Comes from the Venable tree from Clemson, and he was at Jack State. What's his name? Zach Alley. So
29
years old, and so they moved quick, and I think you said it off air, and I think you're right, is that he was probably getting headhunted by some other schools, and he didn't want to unless it was OU. But he would if OU wasn't going to give him a call. So we'll see. I don't know if scary is the word to use.
It is.
Anxious,
it's fine to use it.
Nerve-wracking. You got two new coordinators going into the inaugural season of the SEC. It could be really, really good or really, really bad or somewhere in between, which if it's somewhere in between, it's not good if you're an OU fan. So we'll see what happens.
I saw a couple of stats. His first year at Jacksonville State as the DC last year, like 33rd in scoring defense, but then there was like some of the metrics and the more advanced stats were really good, like top 15 in a couple of different categories. I think it was the first year in D1 for Jacksonville State last year. But I think this is probably one of those guys, you know, all the coaches have them on their tree or what have you. You know, Allie was at Clemson from like 13 to 18 or something like that. As a GA, and you know, I'm sure Brent, and he even says like a father figure to him, Brent was, and you know, it's crazy. The Oklahoma defense coordinator may be younger than the Oklahoma State quarterback, as Alan Bowman gets his seventh year of eligibility. That's good news, I think, for Poke fans,
yeah,
for sure. When you
yeah.
look ahead to what's going on,
it's nice to have in today's portal world. It's nice to have. A returning guy, right? Usually that second year, third year even, is better than the last. I mean, just look at Dylan Gabriel. His second year, I mean, his first year wasn't bad outside of the win-loss stat. He had put up some pretty good numbers. Second year was pretty dang good too, a little better. So that's nice to get Bowman back. He's more comfortable. He's found a home, and he said that last year was, or this past season was, the most fun he's had ever playing football, and he's been playing a lot of football, obviously. So
Will Howard to Ohio State,
that one I kind of scratched my head on that one.
I thought he was a done deal at SC. I wonder if it wasn't a done deal and then he saw what Miller Moss did and decided, let's see. Saw Miller Moss throw 6 touchdowns in a bowl game for USC.
Yeah.
I'm watching Mizzou, Ohio State, and it doesn't look like this guy can complete a forward pass. I think I'll go to Ohio State instead.
Right.
I wonder if that was purely competition based.
It has.
And it should be. If you're a guy like Will Howard, it should be that way. There is no reason to Spencer Sanders yourself when you're in the portal. Even if it's maybe not as prestigious a school, if you're making the move from Kansas State, you're in a competition at Kansas State. Why would you get in the portal and go to a competition somewhere else? Right?
Right.
and it wouldn't appear there should be much, even though he was up and down.
It does, for me, have a Penix feel to it, where Penix came from Indiana, went to Washington, and the rest is history. It has that kind of a feeling. He was good at Kansas State. Can he elevate his game and be great at Ohio State?
How shocking was it to see that Ole Miss running back Quinshon Judkins has entered the portal?
Well, nothing shocks me anymore in the portal age.
So Ole Miss was bringing him in, one after another, defensive line especially. When I saw this, you know the first thing I thought about? Stutzman and Canick talking about the portal right after the Caden Green news. They were talking about on a podcast about how the money is the NIL money is there for those that leave. The NIL money isn't as lucrative for those that stay. And I thought, as soon as I saw this, I thought, well, the Ole Miss money train ran out for Quinshon Judkins. But here's the problem. If I'm Tyler Harrison, our resident Ole Miss fan, what worries me, and people may not realize how good this guy is. You know what he did this year? He scored 15-plus touchdowns for his second straight year, freshman and sophomore, within the SEC. You know the last guy to do that?
Who's that?
Herschel Walker.
Oh, I've heard of him.
He became the first player in the SEC since Herschel Walker with 15-plus touchdowns in each of his first two college seasons. And the money train in Ole Miss dried up for him. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, this is such a grass greener outside of your program than in type thing. That's the only thing we can decide what happened, right? Or he's getting the offer. You know, Harry texted me. I heard we're hearing $2 million from Colorado. We'll see if that materializes. But you know, that's what I'm saying though. That Canick and Stutzman appeared to be 100% right about this. That big-time NIL money is going to either recruits or guys that are getting into the portal, not necessarily staying at the school that they're in. Which feeds into the notion that this is just essentially free agency in college football.
100%. Yeah.
Except for there's no rules.
No. This needs to be addressed by the NCAA. But do they even have the power anymore?
No, I don't think so. All right, that's it. 12:20, Big Elk TV, the Elks and Clinton. Consolation bracket from Hinton. What time are you on?
3:20 tip time, if it's on time, and they have been. We'll do about 3:05.
So 3 o'clock for Canute girls and then the boys after that.
Yeah.
Elkettes back at 7 against Riverside. Paragon TV all day long. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.